All right, go ahead and open up your Bibles now to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 27, and we'll be there in just a second. This lesson that I'm going to give to you is just titled Christian Kindness. It's really interesting because this is a lesson that I had another lesson prepared for this week, but there's some things that have just happened in my heart's been elsewhere, and I thought about this lesson and I pulled it out. The last time I preached this outline, I wrote it down because this is the way I used to do things. 8/24/14. That was the date. August 24th, 2014, at a little church called West Ouachita, back at my first work in Louisiana, and I put down PM. So it was a Sunday night sermon from way back at the beginning of my ministry, and it was so interesting when I pulled this thing out and I began to read, and I thought, did I really say things like that, you know? But it's a lesson that's been on my heart and something that I wanted to share, and it's a simple point. But there's just been a few things that have happened that have really made me think about it. First of all, it's a few conversations that I've had over the past couple of weeks with people that have just gone so well. Just yesterday, our family was out at Brushy Creek Park and walking around, and there was just a few different conversations that we had with people where people were just so kind. You know, they were just so nice, and it was pleasant. And it wasn't a huge, you know, thing, but it was something that stuck with me, and it was just a really good time. I was out, actually, same park a few weeks ago and had a wonderful conversation with a mom and her son, and she was clearly a single mother, and she was walking around with her son out at the park, and I was fishing in the lake, and her boy came up to me, and I heard him. They were actually back behind me while I was fishing on this little walking trail, and I heard him say, "Oh, he's fishing? That's not fair. I want to fish." And so I was just listening, you know, and hearing this interaction, and sure enough, they kind of ease up next to me, and after a while, she finally looks over, and she says, "Hey, sir, excuse me," and I said, "Yeah," and she said, "My son's wanting to go fishing really badly, and I have no idea what to even do." She said, "What do I buy? What are you holding there?" And I was holding a fishing rod, you know. I was like, "Well," and so I tell her, you know, "You can go to Walmart and get a little kid-size fishing rod, and you don't have to have much, just get some, you know, bait and throw it on a little hook." And I showed her a few different things, and they were both really interested. And the boy said, "Well, what do you use for bait?" And she said, "Yeah, how would I get something for it?" And I had some worms I was fishing with. And this was an awesome moment as I opened up. I said, "Well, come here, let me show you." And the boy comes over, and I said to the mother, "You know, come on over here too." And I opened up, and there was just worms all in there. And you should have seen her reaction as she screamed and jumped back and said, "Ah!" You know, and the boy did too, which shocked me. And so I said, "No, come over here." And I said, "You want to touch one?" And he was not interested. She was gone, you know. And but it was a really pleasant time. You know, it was a great conversation. And he never touched the worm, but I pulled one out and dangled it in front of him, you know, and he freaked out. And but as he walked off, I heard him back behind me, and it was the best part of the conversation. As he walks away, and I hear him over talk to his mom, and he says, "I can find worms in our backyard. I can just go dig them up." And she said, "Oh, no, you won't." So I don't know the ending to the deal, but it was such a nice conversation, and it's just wonderful when people are kind, isn't it? And it's just something that's been on my heart and been on my mind, not only because of the kindness that I've seen over the past few weeks, but also because of the fast food experiences that I've had over the past few weeks, right? Yeah, I mean, you go to a fast food restaurant. How many of you go to fast food? Come on, let me see your hands. Don't you lie, right? And you go to fast food, and you never know what you're going to get. It's 50-50 shot, you know? And look, here's the deal. Are they going to get your order right, or are they going to mess it up? And you have no idea. And there's certain fast food restaurants that you go to and you just know, I have to check my order on the way out, because over half the time, it's wrong. You know what I'm saying? And so here's the thing, though. If you mess up my order, that's one thing. But if you were kind, I can understand it. But there's something that happens within me, and spiritual warfare rages within my soul when somebody is rude and then they mess up my order. Right? It takes it to a whole nother level. And that happened the other day. It was the worst fast food experience I've had since I've been in Texas, right? Louisiana, it happened all the time. I love Louisiana, but people just weren't always as nice there as they are here. Okay? And some of you, you're like, really? I'm telling you. It's true, just believe me. But I had an experience the other day that just reminded me of some of the worst experiences I've had when the fella didn't even look at me. He handed me my food, wouldn't acknowledge me, didn't talk to me. I open up the bag, he gives me my drinks, there's no straws. I ask, you know, hey, sir, could I have some straws? Doesn't look at me, just hands stuff out the window. Never talks to me, never acknowledges me. And I'm trying, so I kind of made it a competition by the end. Like, I'm going to get him to look at me and say something, you know. It became a challenge. Thank you so much, you know, woo, and nothing. And then I get home, and what? My order was wrong. And the Incredible Hulk wanted to come out, but I decided to handle it in a different way. Instead of storming back up and telling him what I really wanted to tell him, I handled it in a very Christian way. I complained the whole time. I just ate my food, and then I told Avery at the end of it, see if I ever go to that restaurant again. Right? That's the Christian way. That's what we do. You know, we're not going to go and just slam stuff and be rude. We just boycott it. You know? And that's me. That's how I handle it. I don't know if you're with me, but in all honesty, this lesson, as I read the words that I had read 7 years ago, I really did begin to wonder how I've changed. And I've lost some of the kindness that I used to have. And kindness was easier for me to show when I was younger. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing it's easier for me to be mean and a lot harder for me to be kind. So with that in mind, look at Luke chapter 6, and I want to read a scripture that's, for those of you who have been Christians your whole life and have grown up in church, this is a very simple sounding passage. But I really believe this is one of the most confused passages in the Bible, especially by new converts and people who have just come to know Christ. This is a very difficult passage to understand, because Jesus says some things that turns the thinking of the world on its head. Listen to what he says. Verse 27, Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. This is one of those moments where you can pause and you can say, really, Jesus? Are you serious? Then you're like, there's got to be something more. I'm not going to do it through this whole passage, but count the times where you could pause and say, are you kidding me, Jesus? Really? Because there's a lot of them here. Do good to those who hate you. Verse 28, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And from the one who takes your cloak, do not withhold from him your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, so you do to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. That's a tough passage. It's a simple message. I mean, you realize it, you read it, and you go, okay, so I need to be kind to people. But when you start to really apply it in everyday circumstance, that's where this passage really gets difficult, doesn't it? Especially in the culture that we live in today. And that's why I want to preach this message. I want to tell you about the story of the young guy that was going door to door selling vacuum cleaners because he was trying to pay his way through medical school. And so it was a hot summer day. Now, I don't know if any of you have had vacuum cleaners come to your house recently to sell, but it still happens. We had somebody, 2 weeks ago, Avery, come to our house and try and sell us a vacuum. And it was on a hot summer day, and they were miserable. And so I ended up offering them I wanted to offer them a bottle of water. All we had was Diet Green Tea. So I don't know how much they appreciated us, but you know, we offered him some. But he's working on this hot day, and he's hot and tired. And so he reaches into his pocket, see if he has any money to go buy a drink. And all he's got is a few dimes. And he's like, well, that's not going to work. And so he decided he was going to do something he had never done before. He was going to ask the next person that he saw if they could give him something to eat and something to drink, because he was exhausted. And so it was at that level, and it's at that point, and he's psyching himself up, and he goes and he knocks on the next door, and this lovely young woman opens up the door, and he gets all nervous. He's like, well, nope, not going to ask her for a meal, you know. And so he says, I'm going to just ask her for a drink of water. And that's what he does. Can I have a drink of water? And she thought that a cold glass of milk would be even better. And so she goes and she gets him this milk, and he drinks it real slow, and it was really refreshing for him. And at the end, he says, how much do I owe you? And the young lady said, well, you don't owe me anything, she replied. She said, my mother taught us to never accept pay for any kindness. And so he handed her back the empty glass, and with a smile, he said, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your kindness today. And he shut the door and went on his way. Many years later, this same woman is critically ill. Local doctors are just totally baffled by her condition. They don't know what's causing it, so she's transferred to a large city. You know how this stuff goes. And she's diagnosed with a rare disease. And she has all these specialists that are coming to help work and figure out what to do to treat her. And one particular fellow's name was Dr. Kelly. And when he heard the name of the town that the lady was from, a strange light filled his eyes. And so he immediately went down the hall to her hospital room, and he peeked in, and he recognized her at once. And so he determined to do everything within his power to make her well. He gave special attention to her case, and finally her disease starts to go in remission, and she was being discharged from the hospital. And so he requested that the business office send her bill to his office to be approved by him. And when the bill was brought to her room, finally, she was terrified to open it because she was worried with how much they did and how, you know how these things go too, right? She's going to be paying on this the rest of her life. But she opens up the bill, and her eyes went to the bottom and saw a handwritten note scrolled at the bottom of the page, and it said, paid in full by one glass of milk, signed Dr. Howard Kelly. You know, I love that. It's something so small that was so huge for someone else. Kindness, gracing somebody else's life with good. And it can be shown in big ways, it can be shown in small ways, but our world needs a little bit more kindness today, don't you think? Speaking a word of encouragement, being nice, having just a pleasant conversation with someone. Sending a text message to people who are in the hospital or sick or those that you know need encouragement or help. Listening to people's pain and heartache. By the way, that's the best counseling you can ever do, is when you just listen to people's hurt and you're there for them. Being kind. And kindness is so valuable. And here's what I truly believe about kindness. I think kindness reaches more people for Jesus than any ministry program ever will. I think more people have been brought to him because of the random act of kindness that one person has done for someone else than any ministry program, than any church could ever do, or any preacher, one sermon has ever done. Kindness makes a difference. But here's the deal as we get into this, and this is something that's really been on my mind. It's this: kindness is often confused for Christianity. And we've got to be very careful there, right? Because they're not the same thing. And I've heard people say, and you have too, and I've said it before, people will say something like, well, is that person a Christian? Are you like, oh yes, she is the sweetest person I know. She is so kind. Like, she's willing to do anything for anybody. And what we've done is we've just correlated kindness for Christianity. And those things are often said sincerely for people that we love and we appreciate. And listen, kindness ought to be the mark of every Christian. But being kind doesn't make someone a Christian. But the opposite is true as well. And this is really what my mind's been on. Being a Christian doesn't necessarily make somebody kind, does it? Sometimes a person may wear the name Christian, they wear the t-shirts and the bracelets, and they walk into services, and they carry their Bible, and they sit in pews, but none of that makes you kind. So this has really been on my mind because of a situation that happened, and you may have seen it too, because it happened right out here on our street in front of our church building. It was about a month ago, and I was driving after service on the way home, and there was a big white Ford F-150 in front of me, jacked up real big, you know. It's clean. It was a good-looking truck. And there was a sign not a sign, but a flag in the back of the truck. And it was a political sign that had profanity in big, bold letters. It was a black sign with white, bold letters. And it was so in your face that my stomach came up into my throat when I saw it. It's just very uncomfortable. And if you saw this, you would know it. And it was right out here. But that's not what got me. I mean, you know, hey, we're in Austin, no big deal. There's people, worldly people, whatever, right? But what stuck out to me is when I pulled up behind them at the red light, and on the back of their windshield were two stickers. And on the right side was one of those Christian Jesus fish. And on the left side were the symbols of the gospel. And I talked to Avery. Actually, Avery, you called me because you saw it too. She calls me because we took separate cars. So we were both driving. She said, "Do you see that sign?" I said, "Yeah, but do you see the stickers?" And we just could not believe what was going on. And I told her, I said, I don't want to stop him and like get mad at him for, or even get into the politics of things or whatever. I'm not interested in any of that. I just want to ask him one question. How does he justify the messages that he's sending through the things posted on his truck? Like, how do you justify the flag with the stickers? But that's kind of what I've been noticing in our culture, is that there's a lot of that happening, where we kind of compartmentalize our faith, and we're Christian on Sundays, but not necessarily on our social media pages or in our interactions with other people, and especially since politics and ungodliness has been happening in our culture lately, and the things we've seen over the past couple of years in our country. A lot of Christians are so unkind. And I want to make sure that that's not who we are. That that's not what they say about the Leander Church of Christ. That we're different than that. And so, in this lesson, what I've done in the past, and I'm going to, and obviously not preaching it in the same way I did back then, but quickly I want to compare God's kindness towards us towards the way that we show kindness to others very quickly. So, God's kindness towards us. How does God show his kindness? In Scripture, what do we see? In our text, Luke 6:35, he says, God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Matthew 5, verse 45, your Father in heaven causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. But here's the thing. As I was preparing this, I realized not only does God say to be kind or say that he is kind, he lived it, didn't he? And you think about the ministry of Jesus, he lived his kindness on so many levels. He showed it to everybody, and he really did show his kindness to the ungrateful. He really did show his kindness to the evil. And you can think one of two things. Either that makes you really excited because you're like, wow, he's so amazing, or that makes you really nervous because you're like, he calls me to do the same thing. And I really wish he wasn't so kind to those kinds of people. I mean, think about where he went and what he did, feeding 5,000 people, washing others' feet, forgiveness to an adulterous woman, hope to a woman at a well whose life was in shambles. But I think the greatest moment is as Jesus is hanging on the cross, and the very ones who are putting him there and nailing him to the cross, he looks at them and he says, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His kindness was without limit. And his kindness was shown in spite of what people deserved and in spite of how they respond. And God continues to shower his goodness on all humanity. And what I love about it is that it breaks down all the barriers that we as humans erect, all the things that we build up to block ourselves from Christ. It doesn't matter what we think or are trying to do to separate ourselves from him. His kindness will still reach us, and his love will still affect us, no matter who we are or where we are or what we've done. But here's where it really takes another level, and this is what I think Christians really struggle with. This is what I struggle with, folks. His kindness takes in the offensive and the unpleasant people. It takes in the annoying people. But here's the big one. His kindness and his love take in people whose lifestyles are completely ungodly, or those who are ungrateful. And that's tough for us because we hate ungodliness, but God's kindness does and his love does not contradict his justice. God is good and he loves and shows kindness, and yet he still upholds justice and rightness. But I really, you know the old saying, I think it's so true, and you've probably heard it a million times, God hates the sin, but loves the, he loves the sinner. And I think that's a great statement. And I think that really does encapsulate the heart of God in a very short statement. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. But so often today, we're so fed up with the ungodliness around us that Christians are losing their kindness in defense for what they think is right, and placing themselves up as the ones who will uphold justice rather than trusting God to fill that gap. This is really easy for me to say to you, but it's really hard for me to live. Because it's a lot easier to be mean, and it's a lot easier to say what I want to say, because that makes me feel really good. You know what I'm saying? Like when you can go to somebody and they've mistreated you, or they're, here's the key, when they're wrong, oh, well, let me tell you, and it makes you feel good because it makes you feel powerful and it makes you feel as if you're worthy and you are somebody. And man, that makes me feel good. But God doesn't call us to be mean. God doesn't call us to be right. God calls us to be kind and to love. And here's the level of love that he commands, as he loved us. And that makes it tough. But here's the key. Not only does he love the ungodly, but this is where it all comes home. When you realize that he loves and is kind to you, to us, when we completely didn't deserve it. And how often do we take God's kindness for granted? Like it happens all the time, right? We got a lot of farmers in here. Leander, I heard, was a farm area 10, 15 years ago. I can't believe it. And so there's this old preacher that in a farm community that put it like this. He said, how often will we fervently pray for a good crop at the beginning of the season, only to later credit the great effects of some new fertilizer or planting technique or plowing method that we used? You know, it's like we pray for God, please do this for me, and I'll trust in you. And then we get the healing, we get the job, whatever it may be, and we go, wow, I was lucky. I'll never forget, I was at an AA meeting with my mom, and there was a speaker there who was talking, and he said, I was so great at praying a prayer of what he referred to as the jailhouse prayer. He said, Lord, get me out of this situation, and I'll never do it again. Well, I've prayed that one a lot. The jailhouse prayer. And he says, when I would get out from whatever it was, he'd smile, he'd walk away all slick and going, man, I was quick on my feet, you know. And he'd go back into living whatever lifestyle it was. We're so good at praying to God when things are difficult. But how often do we stop to thank God for his kindness and his goodness that he lavishes upon us day after day? No matter who we are or what we've done. And by the way, what have we done? Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're so undeserving. But now we as Christians who have been given the grace of God, how dare we withhold our kindness from somebody else because we think they're wrong? So what about our kindness? God is good to us. You know the old saying, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But what about us? What about our kindness to others? Well, 1 John 4 and verse 11, God commands us to have the same kind of divine-like kindness that he has for us onto others. He says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And in order to practice that kind of kindness, we're going to have to put aside self. We're going to have to get self out of the way. And we're going to have to put others first. We'll have to learn the truth of what our scripture says that's so often misunderstood, of what it means to turn the other cheek, of what it means. Can you believe that Jesus would say something like this, where he says, if somebody comes and robs you of your cloak, don't stop them. Well, stop them, But not to get your cloak back. Stop them and say, hey, wait, are you cold? Do you need a tunic too? And give them the shirt off your back. Like, does that even make sense? This is tough. You see, it would be easy if Jesus wouldn't have preached this stuff, and it would be a lot easier if he wouldn't have lived it. But here's the problem, folks. We created a mission statement to seek to be people shaped into the image of Jesus Christ. And if we're really committed to that, then it's going to take us learning to put aside self and take the risk of being kind. Because here's what I believe about kindness. It's risky, isn't it? Kindness is risky. Compassion makes you vulnerable. And I get it. Look, parents out there, I get it. I'm stepping into the world of parenting right now, and I can't imagine looking at my boy and saying, for Jude, if somebody hits you, if somebody hurts you or slaps you, turn the other cheek. Wait, surely Jesus doesn't mean literally. Come on. Because I can't teach him that. I got to protect my son. If somebody robs you, give them more. Am I going to teach Jude those values? Or if somebody abuses you or curses you, here's the big one. He says, pray for them. But that's my son. Kindness is risky. And I understand that. And I get what I'm asking when I say we've got to take our kindness up to another level. But Christians today are letting us down, folks. We're not doing a good job at this. Our world is bad and our world is evil, but that's no surprise. Jesus told us that was going to happen a long time ago. That's why he said you're to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. What is salt good for? It's a preservative. Because the meat's going to go rotten. And the world is rotting around us. And we see it. But our goal is to be the salt and to be the light. And we can't do that by being right. We do it by first being kind. And if we contradict our kindness through our rightness, then we're most wrong. And so here's the challenge for us. And I get what I'm asking. I get it. It makes you vulnerable. It's risky. People, they might take advantage of you. In fact, they probably will. And if you've been kind long enough and a servant long enough, you've been taken advantage of. And I get it, it can hurt, but this is the challenge. And it's a challenge that's going to require us to tame the tempers that easily flare up, especially when we're in a rush and somebody's taking too long. Especially when we've requested for a certain thing to be done and we've paid for it and we didn't get what we received. The challenge is for us to check our selfish streaks, to overcome our fears of being taken advantage of. You know how many times I've heard in other ministries I've been a part of in the past where somebody throws out a good idea for a ministry or a good idea for the church to do something, but somebody else in the room will say, no, we can't do that because people are going to take advantage of us. Yeah, they are. They are. But not everybody. And God didn't call us to go figure out which ones are going to take advantage of us and which ones aren't and only serve those. He says, love and serve everybody. And so that's the challenge this morning, and it's not very easy. I'm going to end with this. It's a true story. Chuck Wall, it was written in the Associated Press years ago. He was a college professor in Bakersfield, California, and he was watching the news one evening, and he heard that old cliche that's so popular. Another random act of senseless violence. And so he got an idea from that. And so he went to class the next day, gave his students an unusual assignment. They were to do something out of the ordinary to help someone in need, and then they were to write an essay about it. And he unveiled this idea for a new bumper sticker that said, "Today I will commit one random act of senseless kindness. Will you?" And so he had those bumper stickers printed up, and he sold them each for $1, and all the money went to a local center for the blind. And his students, for one's random act of kindness, he bought 30 blankets and he passed them out to a homeless who were under a bridge. Another student paid his mom's utility bills when she couldn't pay them. And the idea took hold and it began to spread. And it was preached from pulpits and in schools and businesses across the town. They even got bumper stickers for all the fire trucks and local police in the county. And after seeing how so many people became involved, Chuck Wall made this comment. He said, "I had no idea it would take hold like this. I had no idea our community was in such need of something positive." And folks, I think the same is true for our community as well. This is a negative and a dark world. By the way, I don't believe it's the darkest it's ever been. There's been, so you read scripture and you see the times in which Jesus and the disciples lived through. Things might be the worst you've ever seen them. But Christians have survived through much worse. But it is dark and it is negative because it's a world overrun with sin and injustice and pain and heartache. But listen, every time you or I show a genuine act of kindness, it brightens up our world just a little bit. And I believe that. That's why it's one of the fruits of the Spirit and possibly one of the most important. Kindness and goodness. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to those who love us. Let us do good to all." And so here's the deal. Let's make a renewed commitment this week as a congregation. Are you ready to take the challenge? You and I together take the challenge to commit as many random acts of senseless kindness as we can this week and brighten up our world starting here in Leander just a bit. Think about it. The lesson is yours. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?